The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to the Miles to Memories podcast. I'm Sean Coomer, your host, joined as always by my great co-host Mark Osterman, MTM's managing editor, and Joe Chung from As the Joe Flies. How are you guys doing today?
I'm a little beat up today. I coached the soccer team at my kid's school, so first practice was today. It was hot out, and I'm supposed to have a buddy helping me out, and he didn't show up, and I did not get the text warning me that he was not going to show up. He did text me like 10 minutes before practice, but my phone was in the car, so I didn't even know it was a thing. And then
I didn't even know this was your buddy. So you got that sucked. He let you down, huh?
Yeah. And I think he knew he wasn't going to be there like Saturday, Sunday. Like he had plenty of time. It wasn't like a last minute thing. So I'm sitting there with 16 kids that range from the level of never seen a soccer ball before to travel soccer. So that's kind of like a tough group to manage with two people, much less just one person. We got through it, but it was a bit messy, and I didn't know until like the minute practice started that he wasn't coming.
What age? Your son or your daughter?
It's all mixed. It goes from third grade to eighth grade, so we have it ranges in that big of a range since it's a smaller school. That's the way they do it. So yeah, lots of age differences, lots of levels of skill are all over the map. So it's tough.
Are you watching Ted Lasso to know how to properly?
No, coach I don't soccer? Have Apple TV. I should get it though. I heard that show's awesome.
It's an awesome show. Yeah, I'll teach you a thing or two about coaching soccer. Of course, he knows nothing about soccer. That's sort of the joke of the show.
So he's like Mike Piazza buying a professional team, right?
He's like a
Mets zinger, Joe. Mets. Ooh.
Guy Mike Piazza. I remember his Dodgers days. He was good when he was at the Dodgers, and then. He was still good with the Mets, right?
No,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Mark's referencing Piazza bought a soccer team in Italy and ran it into the ground.
Yeah.
I remember vaguely remember hearing that. Yeah. I didn't know he ran it into the ground. I remember like when the story when he
bought
yeah.
it. Oh, so yeah. That town like ground, huh? That town like hates him now.
So. And his wife. I think his wife was more at fault from the story I read. Like she was doing all kinds of crazy. She took over and just did all kinds of crazy things. And they didn't understand the history. And European soccer is very confusing with the different levels and making money if you move up and losing money when you move down, all that stuff. So I don't even know why they considered buying it, but yeah, pretty much destroyed a town.
Thankfully, I'm not Italian, so I have nothing can besmirch my love of Mike Piazza, but I do feel for that town. They had it pretty bad. And I just want to follow up. I think a month ago, I said by the end of the week, the Mets would be out of first place. They were 3.5 games up at the time, and now they're 8 games back. So Nostradamus.
It's your fault. It's your fault, though. You jinxed them.
I mean,
my fault. That's not a jinx. That's just
the truth. Every year, though.
I just spoke the truth. No, Sean, not every year. Most years, we're just mediocre, and we don't even have to deal with this pain. But on special years, like in 2007, you know, we blow a seven game lead with 17 games to go. So that's the Mets.
Tigers did that one year. We blew, we had like a 3-game lead with 4 games to go. And Miguel Cabrera went out and got drunk with the opposing team that ended up beating us that weekend. And we went to
Please don't tell me it was the Yankees. That would have made it even worse.
No, it was the White Sox. And then we ended up playing a game 163, like a playoff game against the Twins. And it was probably one of the best baseball games I've ever watched. You know, like a throw, somebody got thrown out at the plate in like the 8th or 9th inning when the score was tied and stuff. We ended up losing, but it was, yeah. So we've been there.
So how was your triumphant return to the school building, Joe? Feel good?
No, feels terrible, but no students yet.
I love how every parent out there like just would love to hear that that's probably what their parents' teacher says. It was terrible.
I mean, even without everything that's going on right now, the return to school without students has always been terrible for me. I hate working with adults. And I have to meet with adults for 7 days before the students come.
Like, what's that say about us?
I mean,
I don't think he considers you an adult.
Exactly. Oh, wow. Sean is sharp today for the live recording. But yeah, so I mean, I just don't like, I don't like having meetings with adults. So I'll be, I mean, we'll see what it's like when the kids come. There were some freshmen in for orientation today, so it was nice to see some young adults. But until school actually starts next Thursday, you know, I can leave all this up. Apparently next Tuesday we are gonna do some trust fall nonsense. So
I want a video of this. What? I would pay to have video of Joe doing a trust fall. Oh my God. This is amazing.
Yeah, I think we're going to some place. Well, we're going to the place that our students, the freshmen, are going to go and do like ropes climbing courses and stuff like that. That's in a few weeks. And apparently we're going this year to, like, I guess this is the first time we're going to this place. Our kids have done stuff like this in the past, but this is a new place for us. So yay, rope climbing and trust falls with adults. My favorite.
Sounds like an amazing time. That road trip had to end at some point, right? And it's real life here. I don't know if I would trust Mark to catch me. Like, if I was doing a trust fall,
I most certainly would. If I were you, I would certainly not. I trust Mark to catch me. But if I were you, I would not trust Mark to catch me.
Yeah, there's no way I would allow that to happen. I'm wondering. I'm trying to think of who I would trust. I think PDX Deals guy would catch me. He wouldn't let me fall. The rest of you guys, I don't know about that. You guys would just laugh at me.
I don't know. He's pretty old. He might like break his arms or something.
Yeah, he might. Yeah, that's right. He might drop me.
But he's brittle.
At least he would try. All right. Well, let's get into the show. Before we do that, if you guys like the show, consider subscribing. You can find everything related to the show at mtmpodcast.com. You can subscribe in Apple, Google, pretty much any podcast app, the app that you're listening to this right now in. But you can find links for everything at mtmpodcast.com. And as a reminder, if you want to dive deeper into the world of miles and points, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/miles2memories. $15 a month gets you access to our Slack and our Facebook groups. Sounds a little weird to say that because it was $10, as we talked about last week. The price did change, but check that out. We have a really great group of people there. And if you like our content, don't forget applying for credit cards, anything else, use our links, support us. If you find value with our content, again, mtmpodcast.com. And speaking of that, Mark, what happened this week with the city?
And except for the next, don't use these links. But other than that, yeah. Yes. So I guess we should address the topic of city. Last week, city dropped us as an affiliate partner, which I wrote up on the site about and kind of gave you the overview. But if you didn't read it or were looking for more background, basically, we wrote some articles. Well, it was mainly me writing articles, you know, talking about some of the issues that we have with city. From a consumer standpoint, as a customer, we talked on this podcast about the craziness. If you have a fraud alert that you have to call in, and people kept, like, on a weekly basis would, you know, comment and say, hey, they asked to call my sister to verify my account like last week. And this is bizarre. And they're making me do all these different hoops. And I spent an hour on the phone and they still had to send me a postcard. So I kind of updated that and said, you know, they had promised us that they were going to fix this. I got a call from the headquarters and they said, you know, this is messed up. We listened to your phone calls. We're going to fix this. So 6 months later, nothing had changed. It actually got worse, like that they're offering to call extended family, which makes no sense for a fraud alert. But so we shared that. And then there was another article I talked about having to link thank you accounts where you had to call in and you can't do it online. And it says you can do it online, but then it doesn't work. And so you have to call the number and they don't even really understand what you're talking about and all that stuff. Something that nobody else really makes you do. So I brought those things up and city took, they said that it was the tone of the articles and the words I used and the way I wrote it that upset them more so than me sharing my experiences. I call a little bit of BS on that. I just don't think they like the bad press, but for whatever reason, they made that decision to call it quits with us, which is their right. That's kind of the backstory.
It's an interesting one. It's interesting to get those emails. And while we can't go into the details of everything, you know, it's just a reminder that anytime you have to take advertising, anytime somebody has an advertiser, there is this sort of thing that can happen. And thankfully, we've managed to avoid it this entire time with Miles to Memories. And you're right. City's within their right to do business with us or not. Are they trying to influence what we say? We do believe they are. And so we said that. But as far as would I do business with them again? Sure. If they wanted to do business with us and didn't request us to say anything specifically, that's fine. You wrote on Twitter, and I think it's important for anybody reading, We're not saying Citi has done us wrong. Don't ever do business with them again. You know, ignore every credit card that they have. We won't be talking about them any differently here or on the website because that's our standard. That's the standard that we go for as a website. And we've been doing that for over 8 years now, and it's not going to change. So you're not going to see us suddenly trash Citi in ways that we wouldn't have. I think that you've been more than fair with explaining their problems. And did you use a word or two that maybe they didn't like? You know, maybe you did, but
yeah, saying moron, I guess, didn't.
Yeah, and so you know,
but yeah, and talking about the Twitter thing, like somebody, because I had put in there, and I'll say it here too. If you are applying for a Citi card, this isn't the only podcast you listen to. We're not the only website you read. There's a ton of miles and points people out there, and everybody has their favorites and stuff. If you are signing up for a Citi card because they don't have personal referrals and stuff like that, consider using somebody's link, you know, when you sign up. Don't go direct. Use somebody, support somebody, because creating this content isn't free. So I put that out there and somebody commented on Twitter, how can you say that, you know, after this situation? I said, you know, I'm still going to be a Citi customer. They still have solid products with good earning rates, you know, great bonuses and stuff like that. Their customer service is usually not great. So that's a problem. And that's the purpose of writing these articles was, A, to get you guys, you know, to let you guys know what's going on and how I work through it. And B, hopefully they read it and make some adjustments, you know, hopefully we help out in some way that way. But to say, don't do business with Citi because they screwed us, in quotation marks, it wouldn't be right. It's not fair to you. And it wouldn't be right of us to say that. And it's not even like we feel that way. So Sean loves his AT&T card. I'm going to still use my Premier card when I don't get frauded. That's the way it is. So,
but I'd also point out, like, you know, we're both consumers of content. I am. Joe is too. So all three of us are. Like, if I was reading a website and then I found out they lost their links for a bank that they had been talking about and found out that then they started attacking that bank and started being disingenuous, I would think that that was terrible as a consumer of content. And, you know, that's the number one thing to come out is that we're just going to do things the same because we weren't ever doing it to get paid by Citi. We do need to pay the bills, and we all are professionals and we know what we're talking about. We need to get paid, but we found ways to do that without compromising ourselves, and we won't do that. And like I said, it is what it is as far as that goes. But if you do value our content, you know, show support through our stuff. And this is sort of a generic thing for any content creator. Support them. Let them know that you're there. The sort of traditional advertising model is under a lot of stress as far as these sites go. That's why you might not see a lot of sites, mid-sized sites like ours, because it's just very difficult these days with a transition from, you know, the traditional advertising model to what we have here. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we'll still talk about Citi products exactly the same as we did before. The truth is, Mark will back me up on this. We never let commissions or links drive our content at all, not on this podcast, not on the website. And it won't do the same thing again. Of course, we do like it when something like, you know, Brex happened earlier this year, and that makes perfect sense to cover, and we can make money on it, and that's great. But we'll never just talk about something to make money. And so, business as usual here. That's what happened with Citi, and we do appreciate everybody's support. And Mark and I hate to ask for that on the podcast, to say that out loud, but that's the model that we have here. If you get value from our content, you want it to keep going, you know, provide value back in the ways that we have through Patreon, through using our links, or, you know, just through listening. If that's the best that you can do, we definitely appreciate that as well. So no drama here, I guess. No big battle with us against Citi. I don't think that we would win that battle anyway, but certainly we wish them the best. And Joe, what do you think about all this?
I spoke to you guys. Actually, sorry, Mark, if I didn't DM you, but you know, I think it was a bit thin-skinned of Citi. I think it's also short-sighted of them. As always, like, respect to you guys and the site for just being honest about your experiences. I know that, as they say on Ted Lasso, Mark's language can get a little fruity, but I don't think that was enough.
True.
For... I just don't think that was enough to justify what Citi did, but it's their business. They can decide. Like I've always said, you know, Sean and Mark, I respect how you guys do business and how you're honest about what you're sharing about, and hopefully people respect that as well. And so I think it sucks that Citi did this, but you know, I got your back. If you decide to start drama with them, I'll run with you.
Burn it down.
All right, sounds good. All right, well, let's enough of that. Let's talk about something cool, which is working remotely. Costa Rica passed a law this week allowing a one-year digital nomad visa. And I guess it's basically for people who make more than $3,000 a month, have a job outside of the country, allows you to go to Costa Rica for a year. You can't work locally, but you can get like a bank account and you're allowed to drive there. You're allowed to live there. You don't pay tax on any of your income. It sounds pretty cool. I mean, Costa Rica has always been high on my list. It's one of the few Central American countries I haven't been to. Where would you guys go? If you could choose like a one-year digital nomad, do your job anywhere remotely where you could like function for a year, where would it be?
I find it interesting, the no taxes. And since you're not in the U.S., would you not pay taxes there either? So like you're completely tax-free? That's kind of crazy.
No, because I think you would still keep your residence.
We need Ryan. We need Ryan on the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I think beyond that, you need to obviously see a tax advisor just because, yeah, I don't know a lot about the way international stuff works. I'm going to stop talking about it.
Yeah, Ryan, he's written a couple articles, you know, how he's kind of homeless for the next couple months. His wife, you know, is working at a facility where she's living at the facility and he can't live there. And then because he is an expat, he can only be in the U.S. so many days before the tax laws kick in. So that's kind of an interesting thing. I'm sure there's a way around it, but you know, that's not the main reason for doing it, but maybe it is. If you make a lot of money and you work from home, maybe that's something to consider. But yeah, I mean, with a family, I don't know if I could do the whole remote thing for a long period of time, longer than like a month or so. I know a lot of people did it early on in the pandemic. They went to Florida or Myrtle Beach or where, like down south, and rented a house for a month or two. Or even went to hotels and stayed there for several weeks because they could work from their room. So I can see the draw to it. You know, as a person with a family, kids going to school and stuff, I don't know if I'd want to take that on. But if I was, you know, younger or even single, heck yeah, I'd do it. How about you, Joe?
Yeah, I think Sean asked us to think of where we would go. And I don't know. I just don't think there's like one place that I would want to go. I don't think I would want to sit down, like settle down in a place for a year or something like that. But I feel like if you haven't had a year and maybe do 3 months in four different places, going off of the road trip that I just came off of last week that I talked about, maybe just do it in four different places in the U.S. Maybe stay where it's warm for four different times of year. I'd love to do that. I think living in different places is even better than traveling to different places. Sometimes they don't turn out great. Familiarity may breed contempt, like possibly in Tonga. But I'm not going to go to Tonga. But, you know, if I can find four different places to check out in the United States, you know, I think that would be a lot of fun. So I think working remotely, you know, that's the one thing about teaching, except for last year. I should have done it last year. But not being able to work remotely is a real bummer.
You bring up a good point. Being an American is sort of a superpower, right? Because the country is so big and diverse. And if you were from somewhere where, for instance, the winters are just nasty, you know, Northern Europe or something like that, I could see.
Or Michigan.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Or Boston.
But, you know, yeah, I guess. So there you go. But you could just go to the southern United States, whereas if you're stuck in a country somewhere, this gives you that whole change of scenery, where in the U.S. you can pretty much get any scenery if you really wanted to. So I definitely see that. I mean, Costa Rica, it does look like a cool country with its rainforests and all of that. But I would probably, like you, Joe, I'm a traveler, so I would want to get moving. I don't know that it could contain me there for a year. Although, I mean, yeah, that's a good point, Marcus, about the income stuff. We'll let people figure out their own income tax situations. But according to some commenters we have live, that certainly could be a viable thing, you know, to save on income tax if you went, if it made sense. So I could see that working for some people. But I like your idea, Joe. Just a road trip instead. Visit Costa Rica because you can get a visa for 30 days and do something else. I wouldn't mind, though. I've been thinking a lot about Fiji lately because that's my happy place. I once started a job where they made you visualize your happy place. And the Yasawa Islands in Fiji, which are these little islands off the main coast, are my happy place. So I was thinking about that. And I would enjoy myself there for about 2 weeks, and then I would be bored out of my mind. But
That's the tough thing, like finding a place that, one, you want good climate, so you want a warmer place, you know, beachy type of thing, probably. But you also want something that has like a city or a lot of commerce stuff to do, places to eat. Like, my first thought was the Bahamas, but, and I know there's multiple islands, so you could hop around and stuff like that and take day tours on boats and everything. But after a while, would you get tired of it? Plus, you have to, you know, factor in the cost of living. You know, cost of living at, in places like that are usually more expensive unless you're in like the South Pacific or something like that. So these are all things like, what is that perfect place? A lot of people will say like a Thailand or something like that, but I don't know. Then you have to throw in what's the COVID protocols there and how is the medical facilities with all this stuff. So it's a lot to, you know, it's a lot to take on. And
well, this could be a way if you wanted to travel, if you really wanted to get away because you've been stuck with COVID, of going someplace for a while without having to deal with too much of that, right? I mean, you basically getting a visa to be there. And so it's a way of traveling long term without dealing with as much of the COVID stuff because you can deal with one country and go there and do all of that. I know for all of us, it's increasingly a headache as we look to our future travels a year and a half into this pandemic, trying to figure out where we're going to go or where are we going to plan again? Are we going to, maybe we should talk about that on a future show because I'm having trouble with it, trying to mentally allow myself to think of trips next year when I really have no idea what it'll be like or how I can plan that stuff. But
yeah, and I know,
so maybe this gives some peace of mind for that.
I was going to say Ian's on a trip right now, I believe, and he's going to Greece and everything in Europe just kind of is changing all of a sudden towards US travelers. And he's kind of on his way there. He doesn't know while he's there, are things going to change? What, you know, what's going to happen? Are the rules going to be different? Am I going to be set with the stuff I brought, the plan for, you know, all that type of things. And that's what you have to really focus on with travel, especially international travel, is things can change on a dime. You don't really know what's going to happen. You don't know what you're going to need. So you have to be really flexible and patient. And I'm not a very patient person, so something I struggle with for sure.
Two more things that I would say is, in general, my wife and I have agreed that like we never want to homeschool our children. As
the two teachers don't want to teach their own kids.
We, you know, homeschooling is, you really need the parent and the kid's personality really has to match for homeschooling to work out well. And we have three kids with three very different personalities. So even if we match two of them, there's going to be a third who we miss out. However, I would say that, like, even though I can't work remotely, I wouldn't put it past us to maybe homeschool the kids. This is the only reason why I would ever homeschool our kids, to take a year off like Sean did. Maybe not travel the world. We're not that brave, but homeschool the kids for a year, go around the US. There's a lot you could take. You can knock out all the history competencies you want, American history competencies you want, you know, traveling the US. And I think that would be a lot of fun. My wife and I might have to take sabbaticals, but you know, that's something that we can do in the city of Boston and have our jobs guaranteed for when we get back. So I think that would be a cool thing.
You're getting me all excited for this trip, Joe, that you're taking.
I know, John, sabbaticals, what's that? I just quit.
The other thing that I would want to say, though, is I just want to be very clear, and I hate to give Richard Kerr two shout-outs in the same podcast, but I am not buying an RV, okay? Rich and Ed Pizzarello, okay? I'm not going to turn into an RV podcaster or blogger. Ed, okay.
I had one conversation with Ed about an RV when I, this is, I don't know, a year ago when I was doing a guest host or guest spot on his podcast. And my mind was dizzy with all the stuff he was having to go through. Dude, this is before he got it. And I've only seen the stuff on Twitter about
every tweet those two write about RVs, I'm like, why? It just sounds so miserable. The only RV I would consider is you can rent RVs and get them parked at a campsite at Disney World for you. And someone will take care of all the stuff.
They park it and set it and plug it in for you.
No, they do. They do.
You're like, can you clean the toilet over there? It needs to be cleaned up.
That's exactly what they do. I had a guest on Disney Deciphered, and she talked about it, and it sounded great. It sounded like they had a lot of fun. They got the RV experience, but they didn't have to deal with anything. They had some, like, there's, I don't know, whatever they have to do with the toilet. The company that rented them the RV, they came out in the middle of the week and they took care of that. So they didn't have to worry about any of that. So they had a lot of fun.
Disney magic.
It's the only RV
Disney
I would
magic.
Consider.
Just, you know, you go to the park
Disney
one day
that
and they
RV,
clean.
But the,
no, I'm yeah, saying yeah, but, they got it worked. They got it figured out. But that probably costs more than a hotel room to do that.
Yeah. So, I mean, they did it mostly because of COVID considerations. For those of you who know Disney prices, you know, they rented a campsite at Fort Wilderness and they rented the RV. It ended up being between moderate and deluxe prices of hotel, so maybe like $350 a night for the whole thing.
Like,
but they had a lot of fun.
An arm and a leg.
They said their kids
had
a blast.
Yeah,
not everything.
Or a 5-star hotel off of Disney property.
So. Yeah,
$4,000.
The new JW Marriott.
Five right grand.
There. Yeah, I don't know about that. I just want to put it for the record. I didn't put any Disney stuff on the itinerary this week, and Joe figured out a way
to work it in there. He weasels it in there every time.
Because I didn't know we should talk about Disney World annual passes or not, but and we're not. So
nobody cares about that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, nobody cares about that.
No, but like, I think renting an RV is kind of cool. You know, Ryan wrote up his up in Canada, hitting the national parks up there. And even when I was in Alaska, that was a big thing. That we were on the boat tour with some people, and they were like, we rented this RV and it was basically the same cost as the car rental. And then we canceled all our hotels and saved a ton of money, and you can kind of park wherever. So I think depending on where you go, it can make sense. But yeah, I don't know that I could live in it for a year.
And how long you keep it too, because, you know, if you can have it for a few days like Ryan did, but not have to do with all the,
yeah,
the maintenance stuff, and then that's the way to do it.
I think our kids would have a blast in an RV. But I'm just not trying to deal, like, I don't like dealing with the crap that I have to do with my house. And now I have a house on wheels that I got to take care of. There's like, I'm good. Like, I don't have a septic tank, so I don't need to worry about that nonsense here. If I had an RV for longer than a week, you know, I'd have to worry about that. I'm good.
There's something to say about,
but if someone does it for me,
small spaces too. Cause, you know, if we go up to the cottage, which cottage is like 600 square feet, and there's no insulation. So there's no soundproofing or anything. So you can't watch TV while they're sleeping, because it keeps them awake, basically, unless you're in the bedroom. So, you know, and that after 4 or 5 days, it really wears on you, and you're like, okay, I gotta get out of here, because there's just too many people on top of me, and an RV would be even worse. So, yeah, I don't think I could do it for longer than a trip.
All right, RV segment over.
Added it in.
Are you sure you don't want to give the Richard Kerr a third plug before we still got more show. Okay.
Yeah, I'll try to work it in. You know, go for three.
All right. Well, so we talked about like working remotely, because obviously people are doing all kinds of crazy stuff with their miles and points, traveling different ways, staying home. And I know internally there's this big debate with Schwab cashing out American Express points. I've been on the side of not doing it. Now that I've been getting all these offers lately, all these 150K offers and 90K offers, now I'm sort of like, maybe I should have cashed some points out. But we're down to what, a couple days left if the people have their Schwab Platinum to be able to
by the time,
one day left.
By the time this rolls out, it'll be done. Dunzo.
So yeah, so the ability to cash out American Express points at 1.25 cents each going away. So if you're listening to this right when it comes out and you have the card, you know.
Timely content.
Time to do it. I mean, are you guys doing it? I mean, I'm not, clearly, so I'm out of this discussion, but
I have.
What you doing?
I actually have a post coming out tomorrow, which will be Tuesday, the last day available for it, saying why I'm not doing it, which is kind of surprising because, you know, I did it 6 months ago or whatever. I cashed out every single membership rewards point I had, and I've recouped all those. I cashed in like 500,000. So I've already recouped all those plus another 100K. And part of it was like the motivation aspect. I really wasn't going after deals and stuff, and I didn't feel all that motivated because we weren't traveling. We had a whole bunch of cancellations. So I was sitting on a ton of points. And usually I'm like getting a sign up bonus to pay for the next trip that I'm booking a year out, you know. So it's pretty like last second inventory type of thing. So this was kind of new to me. And I'm like, I don't like this feeling. So I cashed them all out. And I'm kind of in that same boat. You know, I still have a ton of hotel points, still have a decent stack of airline miles. And I have travel already booked, you know, for the future. So do I really need these 600,000 points? Not really, but I still have cash left over from the last cash out. I burned a lot of it in Alaska, as you heard on this podcast, but there's still a chunk left. So that also doesn't motivate me so much. And I'm kind of to the point that I want FU points, which if you've ever watched some movies where they're like, do you have FU money, where you can do whatever you want because you have enough money, it doesn't matter. It's kind of like FIRE. FIRE people tend to still work, but they don't have to work. They do something they want. So I kind of want that level of points so I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, and I don't have to worry about the cost. Like, I don't want to be searching for saver flights or flying with connection because it's the cheapest price. I want to just go when I want to go, where I want to go, and not worry about the cost.
Again, with a fruity language, Mark. Jeez. I amazingly, I never got the Schwab Platinum, so this was not
100K, a debate Joe, for me. 100K.
Why is it so awkward to say that word out loud? Like, I can read the word and I hear it in my head just fine. Every time I go to say it out loud, it, like, I have to hesitate.
What, fruity?
No, Schwab. It just sounds Schwab. Weird coming out of my mouth.
Schwab?
Sounds like, I don't know. Schwing.
Maybe.
Nice. Gosh, how have you not watched Wayne's World since the 90s or whatever? Come on, man.
See, I just gave it to you because of the Twitter thing. So there you go.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Anyway, I do not have the Schwab card. However, I think I've said on here, I generally don't like cashing out my points for money, even though that's the sound financial thing to do. But it's like Mark saying, like, I like to use points as, you know, FU money, right? Like, it's not actual money. Of course, I can do all the math and redeem it, but it's just not as fun for me to do that. Of course, at this point, I would do anything to get on a long haul flight overseas. But in normal times, you know, I like having the points. So, and then again, like, we have to buy 5 seats. So even if we're buying in the economy, it's good to have the points around. So I would not have done this either, but I know it's morally offensive to Benji. So we apologize.
I love PDX Deals Guy's comment on the live chat in our Diamond Lounge. So basically, Mark wants to totally 180 his strategy. Yes, that is exactly what I did. I have the
exact he did that with Bethany the other day on something. I forget what it was. And she freaked out. There's something out that she's been disagreeing.
I don't know. But yeah, it's like the same setup as it was 6 months ago. But, you know, parameters are different. I still have that money in the account, so I don't really want to just throw more money on top of something I might not use just because. I've rather, you know, plus I'm a little exhausted over the last 6 months of kind of going after these points. So I kind of want like to settle in a little bit and get a little breather.
You want to swim in your points metaphorically, like DuckTales.
Yes, like Scrooge McDuck.
Yes, I love it. Another DuckTales reference. No, I mean, the thing that sucked for me is that, like, I haven't been getting targeted for much throughout this with American Express. And then all of a sudden they dropped 250K BizPlat offers on me. Then they've dropped a third and a fourth, which I can't get yet, but I still have ability to apply for 2 more business platinum 150Ks, plus 2 business gold 90Ks, my wife and I. And so now I'm looking at like all these, I had my points kind of set, and now I'm going to have way too many points. And now I'm like, I should have cashed them out, but it's, you know,
you still
not,
have a
not
day.
Enough to
you
actually make a day. I know a couple days.
He's making it seem like it's too late. It's not too late.
I know. So it wasn't enough to move me, but at least I'm on the fence as far as realizing that it could be prudent for me at some point to do it.
Another thing.
Wait, you said 250. You meant 150, right?
Two times. So my wife and I each have 150K offer.
Okay.
And
I heard 250 and I was like, whoa,
we're getting dangerous.
Yeah.
Hey, so two times to it back. He said 250.
Yeah, but if you look at that though, just between the 250K offers, which we've already done and gotten the points for, and then the 290K offers, which we just got targeted for this week, that's 500,000 points right there. So you know,
look at you. Look at you, big guy.
Something I hadn't. No, but that's dude. It could be money, right?
I'm laughing because I'm still on this 250 thing. He said 250, so it sounded like 250 to me.
No, I believe I said it like that. That's why I didn't challenge you on it. I believe I said it like in where if you listen back, you'll hear what my intention was, but how it could have sounded differently.
This is great content.
Absolutely great content. So yeah, I'm not cashing out. I think, but maybe I'll change my mind over the next 2 days. That's the conclusion here.
Another thing I looked at was, you know, it's dropping to 1.1 cent per point, and I looked at my 600K, and I was like, okay, if I cashed out, the difference in that, you know, going from 1.25 to 1.1 is a $900 difference. And that's a decent chunk of money, but it's not like astronomical. If I was in the millions or something considering this, then those numbers would change. To cover that, to go $900 the other way above 1.25 cents is just like 1.41 cents in travel, which I think I can do fairly easily. So I can swing it, you know, a whole 180 basically. And that's something I considered. I would look at that as well. You know, is it really worth it? If you're talking about a couple hundred thousand points, where the payoff is $200-$300, is that worth it to you? Would you be better off just holding on, hoping for more value down the line? And you can still cash out and give up a couple hundred dollars, which isn't a huge thing. So that's kind of, I wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's so easy to overthink this stuff. And when you boil it down to what's the actual difference in value, a few hundred bucks. Okay, do I want to maximize everything? Sure. But is it worth like spending weeks of my life trying to figure this out or kicking myself in the butt down the line if I don't do it? No, this isn't the type of deal that you're going to do that. I do hope that Delta brings back that 2 cent Delta Vacations.
Then you'll feel like a genius.
I'll transfer all my points over there at 2 cents
and not go to Hawaii again.
I still got that certificate burning a hole in my, well, in a way I cashed out that money, right? Cause I got that certificate. So
yep.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, real quick on the site this week, Ryan wrote about the Hyatt card, and it's not getting a lot of attention, and you wanted to bring attention to it because it's the double Elite Night credit offer. But it requires 15K spend, Mark, and a lot of people don't want to do that. Do you think, you know, the fact that you're getting double Elite Nights, it's the same Hyatt credit card that we know and love, 60,000 points after 15K spend, plus you're getting the free night every year because you're making the 15K spend. Is that worth jumping on now, even though we saw easier offers to get elite status earlier in the year?
I think if you are interested in Hyatt status, it's worth it, you know, because the 15K spend, Hyatt is, the World of Hyatt card is switching to calendar year starting next year for their 15K free night spend. So basically you can get two free nights, for, you know, if you spend 30K in your first year card membership, because you have until you sign up now until December 31st to spend the 15K, you'll get the sign up bonus in full, the 60,000 points. Plus, you'll get the free night certificate. Then, starting January 1st, that clock resets, so you can spend another 15K before your anniversary in August or whatever, and you could get a second free night cert. And then you can decide if you want to keep the card or not. So that's kind of a unique feature that you don't see any other time. This is like a one-time thing. Also, the nice thing about that 15K in spend is you get six elite nights for the spend, because you get two nights per $5,000 in spend. So you've got six nights from that, five nights from holding the card. The globalist status has dropped from 60 nights to 30 nights. So that knocks 11 nights right off the top. If you've stayed at Hyatt hotels already, there you knock those nights off. And then you get double credits on all your stays. So we're talking, you know, it could be from 5 to 10 nights that you need to do on top of this spend to get globalist status, which everybody with a brain, there's my saucy language again. Anybody that has a brain thinks globalist status is the best. No, just kidding. But it is, like, you know, what everybody kind of puts as their top tier status, especially for hotels. But, you know, I put it above a lot of airline status. So if you are interested in that, don't do it just because everybody says global status is great. Only do it if you normally would stay at Hyatt hotels anyway. You'll get it for the rest of this year, and you'll get it for all next year, plus the first couple months of 2023, because their status expires February. So you'd have it until February of 2023. So it's something to consider for sure. If you're on the fence, especially if you've had Hyatt night stays already, if you've had 5 or 10 stays this year so far, I think it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, if you're the person who was looking at some of those deals earlier in the year and you kind of regret not getting it, and you think you're going to use the status even a handful of times over the next year, year and a half, it's certainly worth it. I mean, I've held the status, I think, 6 years now in a row, and there's so many more of you globalists now, but it's certainly a deal worth looking at. Ryan wrote a whole article on it, and we do think it's getting overlooked, so take a look at that if you want more of a breakdown. I think Mark gave us a perfect breakdown of why you might want to consider
Zynga it right in the two beer zone, where everything makes sense.
Yes, exactly. Which means that everything we record after here is all downhill.
Adam, you ready? MTM Vegas is coming up next.
Yes. We are recording the MTM Vegas podcast this week with Travel Fanboy. So that'll be out later in the week. If you like MTM, or like Las Vegas, check out our MTM Vegas podcast. A shameless plug there. Let's move on to rapid fires. Mark, start us off.
Yeah, so I wrote an article that posted today for Citi, and, you know, just to show you no hard feelings, it was actually a positive Citi article talking about how I used my wife, my player two, to boost up my American Airlines mileage points. She had been sitting on thank you points from her Citi Premier sign up and just from regular spend and custom cash as well. She signed up for that and got that bonus. And I was, you know, when American Airlines first came out, originally I was going to cash out all the points. American Airlines came out as a short-term transfer partner. So I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to change my plans. I'm not going to cash it out 1 cent a piece. I'm going to transfer it to American Airlines. And I thought, I'll just transfer it to her American Airlines account, and then I can book flights for myself if I need to. But I hate her having miles when I could have them. And if I ever get status from...
Are you the same way, Joe? Because he told me that. I can't. I'm the same way. Like, I want them in my account. Yeah. I don't know why. It's stupid.
Well, and then, like, you know, Hyatt always rolls out these things with American Airlines where they, you know, give you a status match or whatever. So I want those miles in there in case I have status. You know, it just makes more sense. Plus, it's easier to book things. What do you think, Joe? Is that right?
I like to have them in my account. Yeah.
So
it's just someone has to call.
Yeah. Know, perfect. Don't know. Wife points. Don't want to burn those on that. So anyway. I'm thinking about this, and all of a sudden it dawns on me, which I should have thought easily, but oftentimes we overlook the simple solution. One of the great things about thank you points is you can transfer points to anybody, family, not family, friends, whatever. You know, normally they expire in a short period of time, like 60 or 90 days, which kind of sucks. But knowing that I was going to immediately transfer them to American Airlines, I didn't care about that. So I had her transfer me her thank you points that I transferred into my American Airlines account, and I had merged my Rewards Plus card with my account. So I got 10% back that way. So that's a way to maximize your Rewards Plus if only one of your household has it. Transfer points from one to the other and then cash it out that way. So just a simple thing that I should have thought of way sooner, but you know, things like that we often overlook. How about you, Joe?
My rapid fire is not applicable to me, but Hyatt and American are offering a new fast track path to
look at that synergy status that we just had. I just talked about that.
I know. Yep. Danny wrote this up. I wanted to point this out. You know, he wrote up one of the deals that is happening. However, there are a lot of various AA and Hyatt synergistic status deals that are going on right now. And some of them involve, you know, you can just do credit card spend depending on what it is. So I just advise that you do your research. You know, the one that Danny put up is good, but there are also other options out there as well. So if you are a Hyatt Elite, especially if you're a Hyatt Globalist, by the way, like it was said in the chat, Globus status is totally not worth it. So ignore what Mark said about that credit card that Ryan wrote up. But it says global status is totally not worth it. Don't bother doing it. Parentheses says every current globalist. And that was what I was going to say about that card. But anyway, if you do have global status, if you do have globalist status, you know, I do think it's very worth looking into this AA status match because you can get Platinum Pro or I don't know what they're, you know, I don't pay attention to AA anymore, but
I know this is
you
really,
can get one of their high elite.
It's really hurting you talking.
This hurts so much to talk about. Yes, I know. It's killing me.
I think I got as I think Hyatt and AA gave me executive platinum status in 2019.
Here's Sean rubbing got salt extended. In the wound for you.
Yeah. I couldn't wait. You see how I had to like just read, cut like, right in.
Read the room.
No, I did. I did read the room. I absolutely read did room, read the room. Sean. I read it.
Gosh.
I read the room.
You're supposed to be the nice one. My gosh.
But
anyway,
so, I think 15K spend on an AA credit card gets me another year of executive platinum status. So it's pretty good. And I saw some friends got AA amenity kit sent to them from Hyatt and American Airlines too. So I didn't get that. Friends, I feel kind of bad about that. Joe's gone. He walked off. He's mad.
Sean could, with City earlier.
Yeah, he could take the he could take a lot, but those amenity kits getting sent out in the mail, that's a hard one to miss.
The amenity kits was a bridge too far. Yeah. A bridge too far. But yeah, anyway, check your emails, check your AA Hyatt status match type situations because there's a lot of good stuff out there, which hopefully by 2022 and into 2023, we're going to be flying a lot more, so that'll be good to have. What's your rapid fire, Sean?
Well, speaking of Hyatt, Joe, Chase has a new offer for Hyatt, actually for several different brands. So that's like a triple thing. We just went from one to the other to the other. That was pretty cool. But actually, Chase has some cool offers. Hyatt, Southwest, Best Buy. One that got me incredibly jealous, AT&T Fiber. If you have AT&T Fiber in your area, $100 back because I can't get good internet
to
save
curb.
My life. So no, that was... That was Cox Communications. Oh, okay. I wish I could get AT&T Fiber. But actually, for Hyatt, there's two versions, 15% back up to $37, 10% back up to $25. There's a 10% back on Southwest, a 10% back on Best Buy. So certainly worth looking at your Chase cards to see if you have these offers and loading them. You know, pretty decent size maximums too. So not a terrible discount overall.
Rest in peace, Best Buy gift card reselling. Rest in peace.
It's not completely.
It's not
gone.
Completely, but it's not good.
Yeah, it's very niche at this point. Although going back to the fourth quarter, hopefully there'll be a huge rise in demand, and we might see need for those cards again. All right, that's going to do it for us this week. Joe, where can people find you when they're not listening to the MTM podcast?
You can find me at AsJoeFlies on all of your social media applications, and you can connect with me for all my other stuff there. What about you, Mark?
You can follow me on Twitter at DetroitMark. Email me, mark@milestomemories.com. Comment on any of the articles on the website. Join our Facebook groups, our Patreon groups. You know, private message me on Facebook. Lots of ways. How about you, Sean?
I just want to say thank you to everybody, all the new members in our Patreon group.
Yes,
after
thank you very much.
Talking about it last week and you know, writing a post about it, we've had a lot of new people join, and it's been incredible to get to see them join and getting to know them, getting them in the Slack, in the Facebook, and just thank you to everybody who has continued to support us and continues to support us, whether it's just listening or reading, whether you apply through our links, whether you're a Patreon member. We thank you all. And of course, milestomemories.com for 40, 50 posts per week, plus everything else there. And don't forget, if you really like the show and you listen on Apple, don't forget to leave us reviews in Apple Podcasts. We're trying to make a push for that lately, and it's helping us out a lot. So thanks so much for listening. Talk to you guys next
40
time.
40 and 50 posts per week, zero city links.
That saucy language. Bye, everybody.
Bye. See you next week. It's pretty.
That's it. What the heck?
Oh,
oh my God.
That was weird. Yeah. Did you hit the wrong button?
No, yeah, my mouse. I hit the back button and it like went back
no
to the
drama,
main.
Huh?
No drama.
You just... Yeah.
I know Joe has the original of that.
No drama here, and then he just leaves.
Drop the mic and get out. That's it.
He's like, we wished them the best.
Exactly. Mic drop. I should have just never come back either.
City cut his internet.
And then you guys could have just been like trying to figure out what to do with the show without me. I quit. Oh my God.
Okay.
Yeah. No, see, it wouldn't be a show if Sean didn't have some sort of an issue or not. So since my internet's been working well.
Yeah, you gotta finish that sentence. No drama here.